I hope you're ready. It's that time. Climb aboard, all aboard, for the radio ride known as Sports Talk.
I got a bad feeling about this.
I can't take it anymore.
I am losing my mind.
Brought to you by Guarantee RV.
I know that, dude.
On Highway 99 in Junction City. Online at GuaranteeRV.com.
Alex is sitting there saying, what the heck are they talking about?
I would have Mariota out at 3 in the morning drunk, pawning his Heisman Trophy to get into an illegal poker house.
And now, a guy with lots of issues.
Yeah, I kind of do have issues.
No, I mean, like, lots of issues.
Shut up and get on with the program. Dude is a snot.
And broadcasting them, searching for answer.
Who is this?
It's Steve Tannen.
Have another donut, you fat pig. Well, hiddly-hoo, neighbors. 5 o'clock hour is ha. A couple minutes from now, we'll talk with Coach Graves off of a pretty entertaining game on Saturday. Demolition in the opener yesterday. Getting ready for a game tomorrow. So much to chat about as we welcome you back to the 5 o'clock hour Sports Talk. We're off early. 5:30. Done. Hustle on home. Look forward to watching Oregon-Memphis men's basketball. 6 o'clock, ESPN. They got some of their heavy hitters calling this game, too. Dan Shulman, along with Jay Billis. So you got that going for you, which is nice. I wanted to get in to a little MLB later. Oh, that's later. Like I said, we had the big reveal today, and I'm so not on board with this college football playoff ranking. I keep forgetting. So LSU was 1, Ohio State 2, Clemson 3, Georgia 4, Bama 5, Ducks Utes 6 and 7. And again, it's a lot of this will play itself out. You've got the two unbeatens who are still ranked below teams with losses. You could talk to me all you want about strength of schedule. Winning games in a power conference still seems important. Call me crazy. But that's going to take care of itself. Ohio State and Minnesota could be on a collision course for the Big Ten championship game. And if they're both unbeaten, that means the winner will go, in fact, to the college football playoff, joining Clemson, who ain't losing in the ACC. Forget about that. You know, in the Big 12, you need for Baylor to lose. And it's like, they had their chance to lose. That's why we're the guys from TCU called me earlier today, and I refused to take their call. It's like, I'm not speaking to you. And by the way, you know what you did. Don't even try it. Not my house. All right, so remember, you can always text us, 321 0824. Try us on Twitter at 953 the score for the station, at Sports Talk 953 for me, for Nick Rogers. I'm at Rick Nodgers. We're going to lock up the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Why, you say? Let's talk some Duck Hoops. He's the head coach of the top-ranked team in the land. Now 1-0, and 1-0 in NCAA play, and 1-0 against the U.S. national basketball team. They play Utah State here, 6 o'clock tomorrow. On Twitter, use the handle at GoDucksKG. Kelly Graves joins us. Coach, appreciate you finding some time on a Tuesday. How's it going?
Hey, it's going good. We actually practice late on Tuesday night, so perfect timing. You know, the student part of the student athlete screws us up on Tuesdays and Thursdays. We can't fit in any time with the entire team until 6:30 p.m.
Yeah, that whole student athlete thing. Well, right? you've actually done a real good job incorporating it, so well done there, Coach.
Yeah, thank you. No, we really do have good students. There's no question. But we have a couple of our upperclassmen that have to take certain courses at certain times. So you make do with whatever you're given.
You know, Saturday, you know, you as a coach, you've won huge games. You've won tournament games to make the Elite Eight, you know, at Gonzaga, at Oregon. You won a game to get you to the Final Four. You've won games that have clinched conference titles, conference tournament titles. So while beating Team USA, like you said, still kept you at 0-0, how do you view that win? Because while it doesn't have any tangible value for what you're trying to accomplish this season, Coach, it's certainly historic.
No question. And you know, when I have a chance to sit back and reflect on all of these, it'll be up there with the Mississippi State game last year and, you know, some of the Sweet 16 games other years. No question about it. I mean, that was real special. And our team, you know, we talked about it. It's a game that they'll remember and hopefully will for the rest of their lives. They'll be able to tell their kids and their grandkids that the night they beat Team USA. And, you know, just as you well know, it's happened twice ever. And not in the last 20 years. So it was a pretty neat deal. And just it was a perfect storm. I think the way we played, being our first game, that was our first game
right.
And our fourth game. I got freshmen out there playing significant minutes at crunch time, playing their first game ever and playing well. And then the crowd was incredible, so loud. You and I have talked about it before. There were times when sound had feel. I mean, real feel. I could feel it in my spine, you know. Oh, my gosh. And it was just, and then the way we just played with composure and poise down the stretch, I thought was tremendous achievement.
You know, one of the things, I mean, you see Ducks Olympians diving on the floor, Sabrina going into the seats. You had Coach Reeve calling timeouts. You put your starters back in down 11. I was trying to explain to a friend that you don't get Taurasi, Ionescu, Bird, Hebert, Ogumike, and the rest. They don't have an off button. I mean, for a game like that, how the pure level of competition was unbelievable.
Well, it was. It was a well-played game by both teams.
Yeah.
You know, we had 7 turnovers. I mean, when I look at the stats, the 7 turnovers and the fact that we out-rebounded them by 5 were the two things that just jumped out at me, other than obviously the final score. It was, and we didn't turn them over. Both teams played well. They played hard, and one of the things that Sue said after was, you know, in the other college games, you know, they hung around for a quarter or two.
Yep.
They all kind of played the same as ours did through the first half. And then in the second half, USA was able to just kind of put their foot down and say, okay, kids, you know, this is over now. you know, thanks for playing. And we never did. And then she pointed that out. She said we were unlike the other teams that just kind of didn't, they certainly didn't roll over. But they just kind of accepted their fate.
No, and the interesting
we never did.
No, and the
kept
thing that
fighting and then the pressure got on them, and you could tell they went back with their starters late, saying, "Okay, we got to, you know, turn this thing around," and they just never really could.
Yeah, one of the first questions I got asked yesterday early was like, "Yeah, but who did Team USA play?" I was like, "Well, how about the number 3, 5, and 7 teams in the country?" So
yeah.
When you consider Oregon State, Stanford, and Texas A&M, I mean, normally you'd say, "Yeah, well, they beat 3 of the best teams in the country, and you beat them." So I know I'm dwelling on it, but man, it's just some heady stuff.
Well, I think. For those that were there, I think it's something that they'll never forget, and they'll be able to tell people, yeah, I was there that night. It was special, and there's no reason to poo-poo it. I've had people say, yeah, but they didn't have this player. Guess what? They had 5 Hall of Famers. They had 4 former MVPs. They had the all-time leading scorer in college basketball history. I don't know how many Final Fours they had between everybody that played, you know, 25 or so. Guess what? It was a big win, and you got to give that, you know, those Ducks credit for really putting it all together on one special night.
Yeah, heck, I think the starting backcourt, if you just looked at Bird and Taurasi, I think they had 7 Final Fours.
Yeah, and they're considered, both of those are considered perhaps the best players ever at their positions.
Sure.
Ever in the world. So, okay, they're a little older, but guess what? They're a lot wiser and more experienced.
No,
so
it was
still really good.
Like, I tried to explain to somebody, you know, having gone to NFL playoffs and NBA finals and NHL finals and World Series. I was like, man, I'm going to remember that one for a long time as we continue with Coach Graves. You know, you mentioned your freshmen and this class, Lucy Cochran, Jazz Shelley were in there. And as you said, with the game hanging in the balance, Holly Winterburn is in there. She hit a three off a catch and shoot like she was Maite.
Wasn't that amazing?
That's a pretty steely performance for a freshman.
Yeah, we had her and Jazz both in at different times in crunch time, you know, in that fourth quarter. Jazz came off a little ball screen on the wing kind of middle fourth quarter and took a three kind of early in the possession. But I told her I was really proud of her for taking that. She wasn't afraid of the moment.
Nope.
And so maybe we could have gotten a better shot later in the shot clock. But guess what? I was really proud that she had the guts to step up and take that. And Holly, she just competes, man. I really like her. I think she's going to have a heck of a career here because she just is a scorer and has a scorer's mentality and just plays her butt off.
Yeah, she looked very comfortable for a first game. One of the things you talked about in the post game, I think, is really key. Lydia Giomi, who's now a junior, and you know she's banging inside with Gumike and Sylvia Foles. I mean, you're talking elite interior players. But beyond the stats, from what you said, how important was it for her to just have a healthy offseason to work on her game?
Well, you saw it. Not only in that game, but you saw it last night. She
right.
was for 18-9 against Northeastern in our opener. So right now she's averaging more points and rebounds than Sabrina and Satu and everybody else, right? I mean, what a great start she had. And what she gives us is something different. I mean, Ruthie's a hammer. You know, she's going to get it inside, and she's going to punish you, and she's going to score. Lydia's going to just sprint up and down the floor. Last night, I actually timed this on one of our, we got a stop, Ruthie got the rebound, outlet it to Mignon, and Lydia was blocking out her player inside the take-a-charge circle, the idiot circle, I call it, and she takes off from there and finishes with a lay-in on a pass from Sabrina, a touch pass, 5 seconds after Ruthie got the rebound. In 5 seconds, she made it from rim to rim.
Unbelievable. And
you just don't have many post players that can do that. So she gives us something different in that, you know, and she's active on the boards and she, you know, and defensively. So it's been nice seeing a real transformation with her.
Couple final thoughts for Coach Graves. One of the notes I made Saturday next to Minyan Moore was unique. And then in the post game, you talked about how she's different than many of the great players you've had. I assumed you meant she's got that kind of speed like maybe Jordan Canada of UCLA. So what stands out about her that makes her so unique?
Well, I think number one, she is a great teammate, Steve. She talks both on the bench and in the game and practice. She is a talker and a directive talker, not just a talker for talk's sake. She is organizing the team. I love that about her. Number two, she is an elite passer. She had 10 assists last night and a bunch in the game against USA. She is a really good passer, but she's an elite defender, can really get in and change tempo. She can push the ball like we've never had anybody here in transition. I mean, she can get from end line to end line pretty darn quick. And she's just, she's working at being a better finisher, working at being a better three-point shooter. So she's just given us a different dynamic than we haven't had in a while.
No, and I always get carried away with the plus-minus column. I mean, her plus-minus was 48. But
oh, wow.
Yeah, biggest. That's the biggest number on your stat sheet. Lastly, let's finish with this. Utah State tomorrow, 6 o'clock at Matt Knight Arena. Their coach, Jerry Finkbeiner, he's won a bunch of games, but he's on a medical leave. His son Ben is in. They're pretty experienced, I guess. What could you tell us about the Aggies and the kind of challenges they might present?
Well, they're going to be better than the team we played last night. They've got a lot more size. They have some experience. They have a couple of really good playmakers that, that can have big nights if we let them. But, yeah, the son, Ben, is a great guy. I've known him for a long time. And Jerry's doing fine. I think he just had some either hip or knee surgery that's going to just keep him out for a while. But, you know, this is what I've told the team is every game now is going to be an up game for our opponents. So we can't have an off night. We can't just go through the motions because we're going to play teams that are fired up to beat the top team in the country. And so I think that'll make us better in the long run because we can't have an off night. So they're going to battle us tomorrow, but I think if we come out and play, even though we're still without Satu, if we're going to, you know, if we come out and play our game, you know, they're going to have a difficult time beating us, but they're certainly capable.
Oh yeah, I'd be remiss if I didn't ask. So I know she's overseas playing with the national team. When is she expected back?
I think she gets back next Monday, so she'll have 4 or 5 days with us before we have to play at Syracuse. But no, we're really happy for her and proud of her that she's, you know, representing them. She's on their senior team, so she's like a Taurasi or a Sue Bird in
sure.
that country. And they're trying to qualify for the European Championship so they can get into the Olympics, and felt that they needed her to put them over the hump, so to speak. So we wish her the best. She'll play 2 games. I think one's in Germany and one's in, like, maybe Hungary or Poland or somewhere else. But, yeah, she'll be weary when she gets home, but hopefully she'll have her legs when we need her next weekend.
Yep, you've got a game tomorrow, 6 o'clock Utah State, Saturday a matinee. You could do that and the football game, 2 o'clock against Texas Southern. He's Coach Graves on Twitter, at GoDucksKG. Coach, congratulations on the great start. That was a memorable, memorable evening on Saturday. Great win yesterday. Always look forward to catching up, and we'll chat again on Monday.
You got it, Steve. Thanks for having me, buddy.
All right, take it easy. Good stuff there. Yeah, by the way, Minyan Moore with 10 assists versus just 2 turnovers. Handle the ball like that. Let me put it to you this way. 3.5 to 1 is an outstanding ratio. 5 to 1 is better. We'll take a break. We'll come back. A somewhat abbreviated final segment as we get you ready for Oregon Duck men's basketball. Joey Mack and the crew at Moda will take over at the bottom of the hour. But for right now, let's take a break. We'll be back, wrap things up. 95.3 The Score.
Sports Talk with Steve Tannen is brought to you by Guarantee RV Supercenters. Name one of America's top 5 RV dealers. They don't just sell fun, they guarantee it. See over 700 options for every budget at Guarantee.com.
Jason Myers, does he have it in him again? And Seattle has done it in a classic. And San Francisco suffers their first loss.
Yep, the West and a number one seed are officially a race again in the NFC. With that zany finish, the missed field goals and reviews and defensive touchdowns and sacks and Clowney with a touchdown, Defoe Buckner with a touchdown for San Francisco. Man alive, 4 out of 5. That was a hell. That was one heck of a football game. By the way, before we break, I wanted to get this in. Our KJZ Fall Craft Brew Card is on sale right now. You go to our website, 953thescore.com, and it's an awesome deal. I'm telling you, as you get into the holiday season, could be a really nice gift. For $75, you get 20 craft brews on draft, 10 appetizers worth $191. And it's all from local breweries and tasting rooms, be it Steelhead, the Wheel of Pizza Pub and Brewery, and Elkhorn Brewery, and 7 others. Again, go to 953thescore.com and check out our regional craft brew card. The passport is back, and enjoy. All right, so you got that going for you, which is nice. This story about the Astros stealing signs, I would imagine if you follow a lot of the national sports shows, you will see the video. An ex-pitcher, Mike Fiers, who's now with the Oakland Athletics, who was actually traded from Detroit to the A's. He was with the Astros because of a trade from the Brewers dating back to the trade deadline in 2015, a deal that ended up with Josh Hader on Milwaukee. So he's on the 2017 Astros. a team that won the World Series. He made 28 starts, but he was left off the postseason roster. He did not appear in the divisional series against the Red Sox, the championship series of the American League against the Yankees, or the World Series versus the Dodgers. But he said that young guys getting hit around in the first couple innings of a game, you know, you're messing with people's livelihood. He says they stole signs with a camera. He says that the Astros, according to The Athletic, he called it running afoul of rules using technology for an advantage, and expect MLB to investigate. So here's the accusation. He told The Athletic that he warned teammates with the Tigers and A's that Astro hitters had used video feed piped into a monitor near the dugout to decode signs and relay them to hitters during games. And he talks about it's BS. It ruins jobs, especially for younger guys. He said he told his younger teammates, this crap happens. Be prepared. And remember, there have been allegations of cheating by the Astros going back to when they beat the Dodgers in 2017. And when teams now go to Minute Maid in Houston, they're kind of on the lookout, if you would say, flashing lights to whistling to relaying signs from the train that runs above left field. And so, you know, Fires is in the report along with three unnamed sources. I haven't heard. They thought that there was going to be a presser today with General Manager Jeff Lunau. And, you know, the thing that you don't want to forget is how this organization has fallen from grace. Remember, they were the little team that could. They wrote the book on how to properly tank. I mean, they had three straight losing seasons. They lost 106, 107, 111. That was ending in 2013. By 2015, they were in the wild card game, beat the Yankees, then lost in the divisional round to the eventual world champion Royals. And back then, you know, Carlos Correa was 20, Altuve and Springer were 25. So they win it all in 2017. Then you fast forward to this year. They signed Osuna, which some forgave despite the fact the POS was suspended for half a year for violating the domestic violence policy. But a lot of people were like, hey, Toronto immediately dumped him. Then, of course, during the human garbage disposal, what was his name? Brandon Taubman. Remember, verbally assaulting female reporters, rubbing the signing of a guy involved in a pretty sleazy domestic violence case in their faces. So people went from, well, they're a cool organization and a nice story, to, well, now are they a bunch of scumbags? Then they blew the World Series, and now this. Be interested to see how this all plays out and what ownership or Jeff Lunau has to say and what kind of an investigation there will actually be. So right now is somebody at Minute Maid going over with one of those wands that they use, like if you keep beeping at the gate at the airport.
If I'm the Astros, I'm almost leaning into this extra hard for the first game next year. Like, just have like random like fans pop up out of the train whistle, have it toot random sounds randomly if it can do that. Have something flash on the scoreboard. Just be like, go ahead, try and find something that we're stealing from you now. Go ahead, we dare you. You can't. You can't do it though.
Yeah. By the way, at this point, the cat's out of the bag. So if you go to Minute Maid, I would look at the scoreboard, the train, everywhere, you know, try and intercept various feeds, you know, like it's some kind of espionage movie. But anyway, we've got Oregon men's basketball coming at you. The pregame and the game against Memphis at 6 o'clock on ESPN. We've got the action right here. Enjoy the game. Throw it to Joey up at Moda, right here on 95.3, The Score.